This is the London Visited podcast on your favourite podcast provider, bringing to you the facts, history and information about different parts of this great capital. If you have been to London, are planning on visiting, live here or just love London from afar, then this is the podcast for you.
Hi, I'm Steve and welcome to our podcast. We're here for all things London and to tell you more behind some of the iconic places and people in London's history. In this episode, we go to HMS Belfast for the first of our two-part look at this amazing ship. Don't forget to visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel, London Visited, to see videos covering this place and so many others across London. Also, if you love the podcast and the channel, why not join us as a member? Join our group of what we like to call our London Visited Crown Jewels, where there are many different benefits, including a members-only monthly podcast. Have a look by going to patreon.com/London Visited. And now to this week's podcast. HMS Belfast is a town-class light cruiser that was built for the Royal Navy. She's now permanently moored as a museum ship on the River Thames in London and is operated by the Imperial War Museum. Construction of Belfast, the first ship in the Royal Navy to be named after a capital city of Northern Ireland and one of the 10 town-class cruisers, began in December 1936. She was launched on St. Patrick's Day 1938. Commissioned in early August 1939, shortly before the outbreak of the Second World War, Belfast was initially part of the British naval blockade against Germany. In November 1939, Belfast struck a German mine and, in spite of fears that she would be scrapped, spent more than 2 years undergoing extensive repairs. Belfast returned to action in November 1942 with improved firepower, radar equipment and armour. Belfast saw action escorting Arctic convoys to the Soviet Union during 1943 and in December 1943 played an important role in the Battle of North Cape, assisting in the destruction of the German warship Scharnhorst. In June 1944, Belfast took part in Operation Overlord, supporting the Normandy landings. In June 1945, she was redeployed to the Far East to join the British Pacific Fleet, arriving shortly before the end of the Second World War. Belfast saw further combat action in 1950 to 1952 during the Korean War and underwent an extensive modernisation between 1956 and 1959. A number of further overseas commissions followed before she entered reserve in 1963. In 1967, efforts were initiated to avert Belfast's expected scrapping and preserve her as a museum ship. A joint committee of the Imperial War Museum, the National Maritime Museum and the Ministry of Defence was established and then reported in June 1968 that preservation was practical. In 1971, however, the government decided against preservation, prompting the formation of the private HMS Belfast Trust to campaign for a preservation. The efforts of the Trust were successful and the government transferred the ship to the Trust in July 1971. Brought to London, she was moored on the River Thames near Tower Bridge in the Pool of London. Opened to the public in October 1971, Belfast became a branch of the Imperial War Museum in 1978. Since 1973, she's been home to the City of London Sea Cadets, who meet on board twice a week. Belfast is a popular tourist attraction, receiving many hundreds of thousands of visitors per year. And as a branch of a national museum and part of the National Historic Fleet, Belfast is supported by the Department for Culture, Media and Sport, admissions income and the museum's commercial activities. Belfast is a cruiser of the third town class. The town class had originated in 1933 as the Admiralty's response to the Imperial Japanese Navy's Mogami class cruiser, an 11,200-ton cruiser mounting 15 6-inch 152mm guns with a top speed exceeding 35 knots, 65 kilometres per hour, 40 miles per hour. The Admiralty's requirement called for a 9,000-ton cruiser, sufficiently armoured to withstand a direct hit from an 8-inch shell, capable of 32 knots, 59 kilometres an hour, and mounting 12 6-inch guns. Seaplanes carried aboard would enable shipping lanes to be patrolled over a wide area, and the class was also to be capable of its own anti-aircraft defence. Under the Director of Naval Construction, the new design evolved during 1933. The lead ship of the new class, the 9,100-ton HMS Southampton, and her sister, HMS Newcastle, were ordered under the 1933 estimates. Three more cruisers were built to this design, with a further three ships built to a slightly larger 9,400-ton design in 1935 to 1936. By 1935, However, the Admiralty was keen to improve the firepower of these cruisers to match the firepower of the Japanese ship and also the American Brooklyn-class cruisers. Both were armed with 15 6-inch guns. The Admiralty rejected a design featuring 5 triple turrets as impractical, while an alternative design fitting 4 quadruple turrets was rejected as an effective quadruple turret could not be developed. In May 1936, the Admiralty decided to fit triple turrets, whose improved design would permit an increase in deck armour. This modified design became the 10,000-ton Edinburgh subclass, named after Belfast's sister ship, HMS Belfast. Belfast was ordered from Harland & Wolff on the 21st of September 1936 and her keel laid on the 10th of December 1936. Her expected cost was £2,141,514, of which the guns cost £75,000 and the aircraft, 2 submarine Warises, £66,500. She was launched on St. Patrick's Day, 17th of March 1938, by Anne Chamberlain, the wife of the Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain. The launch was filmed by Pathé News. From March to August 1939, Belfast was fitted out and underwent sea trials. When completed, Belfast had an overall length of 613 feet, 6 inches, a beam of 63 feet, 4 inches, and a draft of 17 feet, 3 inches. Her standard displacement during her sea trials was 10,420 long tons. She was propelled by 4 3-drum oil-fired Admiralty water tube boilers, turning Parsons geared steam turbines, driving 4 propeller shafts. She was capable of 32.5 knots, 60.2 kilometres per hour, and carried 2,400 long tons of fuel. This gave her a maximum range of 8,664 nautical miles at 13 knots. Belfast's main armament comprised of 12 Mark 23 6-inch guns in 4 triple turrets directed by an Admiralty fire control table. With a rate of fire of up to 8 rounds per gun per minute, her main battery was capable of a total maximum fire of 96 rounds per minute. A secondary armament comprised of 12 4-inch guns in 6 twin mounts. Her initial close-range anti-aircraft armament was 16 2-pounder pom-pom guns in 2 8-barrel mountings and 2 quadruple Vickers .50 machine guns. She also mounted 6 Mark IV 21-inch torpedo tubes in 2 triple mounts and 15 Mark VII depth charges. Belfast was protected by a 4.5-inch main armour belt with a deck armour of 3 inches over her magazines and 2 inches over her machine spaces. Her 6-inch turrets were protected by up to 4 inches of armour. Belfast's aviation capability was provided by 2 catapult-launched submarine Warris amphibious biplanes. These could be launched from a D1H catapult mounted after the forward superstructure and recovered from the water by 2 cranes mounted on either side of the forward funnel. The aircraft, operated by the Fleet Air Arms HMS Belfast Flight of 700 Naval Air Squadron, was stored in 2 hangars in the forward superstructure. Belfast departed for Portsmouth on the 3rd of August 1939 and was commissioned on the 5th of August 1939, less than a month before the outbreak of the Second World War. Her captain was Captain G. A. Scott, with a crew of 761, and her first assignment was to the Home Fleet's 2nd Cruiser Squadron. On the 14th of August, Belfast took part in her first exercise, Operation Hipper, in which she played the role of a German commerce raider, attempting to escape into the Atlantic. By navigating the hazardous Pentland Firth, Belfast successfully evaded the Home Fleet. On the 31st of August 1939, Belfast was transferred to the 18th Cruiser Squadron. Based at Scarpa Flow in the Orkney Islands, 18th Cruiser Squadron was part of the British effort to impose a naval blockade on Germany. Germany invaded Poland the following day, and Britain and France declared war on the 3rd of September. At 11:40 that morning, Belfast received the message, "Commence hostilities at once against Germany." On the 8th of September, Belfast put to sea from Scarpa Flow with the battlecruisers Hood, Renown, and her sister ship Edinburgh and 4 destroyers on a patrol intended to intercept German ships returning from Norway. In particular, they were to search for the liner Europa. No enemy vessels were found. On the 25th of September, Belfast took part in a fleet operation to recover the submarine Spearfish, during which the ship was attacked by German aircraft, but suffered no damage. On the 1st of October, 1939, Belfast left Scarpa Flow for a patrol in the North Sea. On the 5th of October, Belfast intercepted and boarded a neutral Norwegian factory ship that was sailing in company with six whaling ships. On the 8th of October, the ship sighted a Swedish merchant ship in poor weather, did not intercept or board her. The following day, she boarded a Norwegian ship. The Norwegian ship had been listed by the Admiralty as suspicious, so a prize crew from Belfast sailed her to Kirkwall for investigation. On the 9th of October, Belfast intercepted a German liner, 50 miles, 80 kilometres, northwest of the Faroe Islands. Disguised as a neutral Swedish vessel, SS Arkona, Cab Nort was attempting to return to Germany from Brazil. Her passengers included German reservists. Under the Admiralty's prize rules, Belfast's crew later received prize money. On the 12th of October, Belfast boarded a Swedish ship, which was also sailed to Kirkwall by a prize crew. Returning to harbour on the following night of the 13th and 14th of October, Belfast was among a few ships anchored in Scarpa Flow, following intelligence reports of an expected air raid. That night, the battleship Royal Oak was torpedoed by German submarine U-47, which had infiltrated the anchorage. On the morning following the sinking, Belfast left for Loch Ewe. On the 10th of November, Belfast was taken off the Northern Patrol and reassigned to the 2nd Cruiser Squadron. This squadron was to form an independent striking force based at Rosyth. On the 21st of November, Belfast was to take part in the force's first sortie, a gunnery exercise. At 12:58 a.m., she detonated a magnetic mine while leaving the Firth of Forth. The mine broke Belfast's keel and wrecked one of her engine and boiler rooms. 20 officers and men required hospital treatment for injuries caused by the explosion, and a further 26 suffered minor injuries. One man, painter, second class Henry Statton, was hospitalised but later died of a head injury, having been thrown against the deckhead by the blast. The tugboat crewman, towing gunnery targets for the exercise, released her targets and instead towed Belfast to Rosyth for initial repairs. Initial assessments of Belfast's damage showed that, while the mine had done little direct damage to the outer hull, causing only a small hole directly below one of the boiler rooms, the shock of the explosion had caused severe warping, breaking machinery, deforming the decks, and causing the keel to hog, bend upwards by 3 inches. On the 4th of January 1940, Belfast was decommissioned to care and maintenance status, becoming the responsibility of Rosyth Dockyard, and her crew dispersed to other vessels. By the 28th of June, she had been repaired sufficiently to sail to Devonport, arriving on the 30th of June under the command of Lieutenant Commander H.W. Parkinson. During her repairs, work was carried out to straighten, reconstruct, and strengthen her hull. Her armour belt was also extended and thickened. Her armament was updated with a newer 2-pounder pom-pom mountings, and her anti-aircraft armament improved. Belfast also received new fire control radars for her main, secondary and anti-aircraft guns. Belfast was recommissioned at Devonport on the 3rd of November 1942 under the command of Captain Frederick Parnham. On her return to the home fleet, Belfast was made flagship of the 10th Cruiser Squadron, flying the flag of the Rear Admiral Robert Burnett, who had previously commanded the home fleet's destroyer flotillas. The squadron was responsible for the hazardous task of escorting Arctic convoys to the Soviet Union, operating from Scarpa Flow and bases in Iceland. Her radar suite reduced Belfast's need for aerial surveillance, and her aircraft were disembarked in June 1943. Belfast spent 1943 engaged on convoy escort and blockade patrol duties, and on the 5th to the 6th of October of the same year, formed part of the covering force during Operation Leader, an airstrike against German shipping in the waters of northern Norway by the aircraft carrier USS Ranger. On the 26th of December 1943, Belfast participated in the Battle of North Cape. This battle, which occurred during the Arctic night, involved two strong Royal Navy formations. The first, Force 1, comprised of the cruisers Norfolk with 8-inch guns, Sheffield and Belfast, the 10th Cruiser Squadron with 3 destroyers, and the second, Force 2, comprised of the battleship Duke of York and the cruiser Jamaica, with 4 destroyers. Bruce Fraser, Commander-in-Chief Home Fleet, expected and hoped that German battleship Scharnhorst would sortie from its Norwegian base and attempt to attack convoy JW-52B sailing from Scotland to Murmansk in the USSR. And indeed, on the 25th of December 1943, Christmas Day, the ship did leave port in northern Norway to attack that convoy. The next day, Force One, which had left Murmansk on the 23rd, encountered the ship, prevented her from attacking the convoy, and forced her to retreat after being damaged by the British cruisers. As the German ship attacked again at noon, she was intercepted by Force Two and sunk by the combined formations. Belfast played an important role in the battle. As flagship of the 10th Cruiser Squadron, she was among the first to encounter the German ship and coordinated the squadron's defence of the convoy. After the German ship turned away from the convoy, Admiral Burnett in Belfast shattered her by radar from outside visual range, enabling her interception by the Duke of York. After North Cape, Belfast refueled before sailing to the United Kingdom, arriving at Scarpa to replenish her fuel, ammunition and stores on New Year's Day 1944. Belfast sailed to Rosyth on the 10th of January, where her crew received a period of leave. February 1944 saw Belfast resume her Arctic convoy duties, and on the 30th of March 1944, Belfast sailed with the covering force of Operation Tungsten, a large carrier-launched fleet air-armed airstrike against the German battleship Tirpitz. Moored in northern Norway, Tirpitz was the German Navy's last surviving capital ship. 42 dive bombers from HMS Victorious and HMS Furious made up the strike force, escorted by 80 fighters. Launched on the 3rd of April, the bombers scored 14 hits, immobilizing the German ship for 2 months, with one Barracuda shot down. Belfast underwent minor repairs at Rosyth from the 23rd of April to the 8th of May, while her crew received a period of leave. On the 8th of May, Belfast returned to Scarpa Flow and carried the King during his pre-invasion visit to the Home Fleet. For the invasion of Normandy, Belfast was made the headquarters ship of Bombardment Force E, flying the flag of Rear Admiral Frederick Dalrymple Hamilton, and was to support landings by British and Canadian forces in the Gold and Juno beach sectors. On the 2nd of June, Belfast left the River Clyde for her bombardment areas. That morning, Prime Minister Winston Churchill had announced his intention to go to sea with the fleet and witness the invasion from HMS Belfast. This was opposed by the Supreme Allied Commander, General Dwight D. Eisenhower, and the First Sea Lord, Sir Andrew Cunningham. An intervention by the King eventually prevented Churchill from going. The invasion was to begin on the 5th of June, but bad weather forced a 24-hour delay. At 5:30 a.m. on the 6th of June, Belfast opened fire on a German artillery battery at Wörsermeer, suppressing the guns until the site was overrun by the British infantry of the 7th Battalion, Green Howards. On the 12th of June, Belfast supported Canadian troops moving from inland to Juno Beach and returned to Portsmouth on the 16th of June to replenish her ammunition. She returned 2 days later for further bombardments. On the night of the 6th of July, Belfast was threatened at anchor by German motor torpedo boats, E-boats. She evaded them by weighing anchor and moving to the concealment of a smokescreen. Belfast fired her last round in anger in European waters on the 8th of July, in company with monitor HMS Roberts and the battleship HMS Rodney, as part of Operation Charnwood. On the 10th of July, she sailed for Scarpa, the fighting in France moving inland beyond the range of her guns. During her 5 weeks off Normandy, Belfast had fired 1,996 rounds from her 6-inch guns. On the 29th of July, 1944, Captain Parham handed over command of HMS Belfast to Captain R.M. Dick, and until April 1945, Belfast underwent a refit to prepare for service against Japan in the Far East, which improved her accommodation for tropical conditions and updated her anti-aircraft armament and fire control in order to counter expected kamikaze attacks by Japanese aircraft. By May 1945, Belfast mounted 36 two-pounder guns in 2 8-gun mounts, 4 quadruple mounts, and 4 single mounts. Her empty hangars were converted to crew accommodation, and her aircraft catapult was removed. On the 17th of July 1945, with the war in Europe at an end, Belfast sailed for the Far East via Gibraltar, Malta, Alexandria, Port Said, Aden, Colombo, and Sydney. By the time she arrived in Sydney on the 7th of August, Belfast had been made the flagship of the 2nd Cruiser Squadron of the British Pacific Fleet. While in Sydney, Belfast underwent another short refit, supplementing her close-range armament with 5 40mm Bofors guns. Belfast had been expected to join Operation Downfall, but this was forestalled by the Japanese surrender on the 15th of August 1945. So, I hope you've enjoyed our first part look at HMS Belfast and very much looking at her creation, how she was created, and also what she was doing during the Second World War. In our next look, we'll look at what happened thereafter. If you'd like to make contact with us and suggest any places you'd like us to feature in future podcasts, you can let me know through our website, londonvisited.co.uk, or through our social media. It really is that easy. Thanks for listening. Really hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we'll see you next time for part two. Bye.
Thanks for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to get more shows direct to your device. Also, why not visit our London Visited YouTube channel to get even more of London. Catch you soon on the next one.